Sound Opinions is supported by Goose Island Beer Company, which brews beers that are highly rated by beer critics and beer lovers alike. More at gooseisland.com. We don't need to be the only beer you drink. We just want to be the best beer you drink.
Suzanne takes you down to her place near the river. You can hear the boats go by. You can spend the night beside her. And you know that she's half crazy, but that's why you wanna be there. And she feeds you tea and oranges that come all the way from China. And just when you mean to tell her that you have no love to give her, then she gets you on her wavelength and she lets the river.
This is Sound Opinions, and this week on the show, we are talking about the music of Canada. That, of course, is Suzanne by one of Canada's most famous, most enduring musicians, Leonard Cohen. This giant of Canadian music has died at the age of 82. Born in Montreal, the son of Jewish immigrants, really made his impact when he moved to New York and joined that folk scene, nascent folk scene of the 60s that included Bob Dylan or Judy Collins, who covered his songs, including Suzanne, considered by many for five decades to be a songwriter's songwriter. A stonecutter, he worked slowly, but every word and every nuance was perfect. He was not a great singer. My favorite quote that some critics have had is that nobody couldn't sing the songs of Leonard Cohen as well as Leonard Cohen couldn't sing them. But the voice was memorable. The words were immortal. Many of those melodies haunt us forever. Probably the best-known song, Alleluia, a true hymn, a perfect song covered by people as diverse as John Cale and Jeff Buckley. We are going to pay full tribute to Leonard Cohen and his five decades as a musical hero next week on Sound Opinions. We had already planned about talking about the music of Canada this week for the show. Looking to our neighbors to the north, Canada, of course, is a huge nation, very diverse geographically and musically. There is so much history there, from Neil Young and Joni Mitchell to Leonard Cohen or Alanis Morissette. We're not going to even scratch the surface, but we are going to look at some of the greats of Canadian music who've been guests on Sound Opinions, as well as checking out the pulse of today's music scene in Canada.
Yes, and to help guide us on our tour of the Canadian music scene, we're joined by Ben Rayner, the music critic for the Toronto Star since 1998. Ben, welcome to the show.
Well, it's a pleasure to be on the show.
Your perceptions going into the job in Toronto as the music critic of what was going on in Canadian music right now, because, you know, I'll be upfront about this. I think it was a misperception in a lot of ways. But a lot of times you'd see these late-night comedians, you know, these TV show comedians. You know, Canadian rock was sort of a punchline for decades, and wrongly so, I would think. But what was your perspective on it?
I mean, if you were looking at our kind of export product in the 70s and 80s, it was definitely bands really trying to sound American or English, you know, in the new wave era. Mm-hmm. It all affects platinum blondes would put on a British accent. But it was, you know, we had like Honeymoon Suite and Bryan Adams, Loverboy, a very corporate kind of rock that I think was thought would play well on the American airwaves. Everybody's working. So there was that side of it. And then you had your Shania Twain and your Celine Dion's and that sort of thing. And even today, Justin Bieber, we're very good at selling your stuff back to you.
Well, you know, I mean, the influence of American media is so pervasive coming over the border. You know, it must have been hard for a long time to develop a truly Canadian identity.
Yeah, I mean, we're kind of caught between the UK and a little bit to some extent France. So, yeah, we have to exist in the shadow of these two monolithic pop music cultures. So it took some time, but I think we're proving it in the last 25, 30 years. I think the extent to which Canada has kind of punched above its weight in terms mm-hmm. of like getting music out there internationally is pretty impressive, and probably has something to do with the fact that our governments are pretty supportive of the arts. There's a lot of grants available for musicians. We have Canadian content regulations on radio.
Now, that's basically a quota system, right, Ben? Saying that radio stations in Canada are required to play a certain amount of Canadian content, or CanCon, throughout the day.
I don't know what the percentage is either. A little bit less. than they used to be. But it'd be certain hours, say, like during prime time, you'd have to have 40% CanCon, maybe like the overnight 25 or 30%. But it would just ensure that our artists had a bit of a foothold on radio against the tidal waves of American and British music coming in.
So 40% Canadian content, we want to hear from the people who are living here, making art here.
I mean, it was the source of jokes to some extent because, you know, a lot of bands probably made it big in Canada based purely on the fact that there wasn't so much going on and they needed something to fill those hours of programming. So at one time, it was kind of a pejorative. So you'd be like, you know, the Honeymoon Suites theme to Lethal Weapon would come on the radio, say. And you'd go, oh, my God,
That's CanCon.
That's CanCon.
You take your life in your own hands. And even love can become a lethal weapon.
But it's also given people, like, at least access to homegrown music and enough good stuff that, and in aggregate math, we've developed a scene here that we can be proud of.
One of the major differences, too, Ben, it seems like, between America, the United States, and Canada in terms of the way it rolls out music is that there's a great deal more government support of something like rock music in Canada, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, there's a number of different systems. You know, Factor is an organization that, it'll help you with touring costs, recording costs, that sort of thing. And something like Factor is actually based on, like, you kind of have to achieve certain goals to qualify for more funding. Say if you've sold 5,000 records, the next time you come back, you'll get a little more money to record. And then if you sell 10,000 or what have you, which, yeah, that's kind of like let bands build up like a touring profile and a recording profile. We have a number of like provincial and federal grants organizations. I think it's just by virtue of the fact that we had to kind of fortify ourselves against so many other incoming cultures. And bearing in mind that, like, it's not just American and British. Like, this country is a real, especially this city, Toronto, is just, you know, people from everywhere. It's given us the protection we need, I guess, to build this industry that's now kind of the envy of the world. Mm-hmm. The amount of stuff that we put out there based on our population, which is like a tenth the size of the U.S. population, is pretty impressive. I think there was a moment last year when 8 of the top 10 Billboard singles were Canadian.
Yeah.
That was just nuts.
Grips on your ways, front way, back way. You know that I don't play. Street's not safe, but I never run away, even when I'm away. O-T, O-T.
Canada and hip-hop, those words didn't go together in the 90s, you know, as recently as the 90s, and now it's become huge in that area. Is there a circuit for aspiring MCs to come through and develop their craft in Toronto?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, again, it's kind of off the radar, as much as we're all a little sick of Drake, because mm-hmm. he's very good at grabbing headlines.
Yeah.
We're really deep underground hip-hop culture here that, I mean, Drake is kind of dragged into the world's field of vision, I guess, with Tory Lanez and The Weeknd to some extent.
Mm-hmm. So what about this producer, Kay Trinata, out of Montreal?
Oh, Kay Trinata, yeah. He's very deep, slick, warm kind of mix of house music and hip-hop, very soulful stuff. He's super young, 22 or 23. It's a little bit emblematic of what goes on up here because it's filtering a lot of different styles. That's a fun ride. That's a nice kind of smooth, that's a night record.
Don't worry about the tag, go and throw it in the bag, cause I got it good. You're the best I ever had, baby, you know that you're bad and I got it.
He's the next thing, I think. I'd be surprised if he doesn't crack a little bit in the state.
Ben, take us on a tour of some of the major cities and provinces in Canada and tell us about their music scenes. Let's start with Montreal. What's unique about what's going on in Montreal's music scene today?
Montreal is actually a really cool example of what is right about kind of government support of the arts, actually, because it's got a really healthy avant-garde, an experimental scene, and a really healthy electronic music scene, and a really cool festival, actually. They're called Mutech that runs every year, which is one of the major, I'm a techno guy, I'm an aging raver,
mm-hmm.
One of the major stops on kind of like the thinking man's electronic music itinerary for the year.
Thank you.
scene. But the good scene, that's what the Arcade Fire comes out of. Godspeed You Black Emperor. Quebec has the benefit of having the French culture. Their government is extra supportive because, right, they're doubly protecting themselves against Anglo culture coming in, as well as American English and, mm-hmm. and French, like France French. A little Canadian history lesson for you, but there was a separatist movement in Quebec, and it drove a lot of the English businesses actually out. Montreal was at one time a bigger city than Toronto. So there's just lots of these great swaths of industrial. It's sort of like Berlin or Detroit. There was a lot of spaces you could move into. So it's cheap for artists to live there, and there's a lot of support for whatever you're doing.
What about Toronto, where you live, Ben? What are we going to get from the music scene there?
You're going to get a little of everything in Toronto. I believe we've eclipsed Chicago in population last year or the year before, so mm-hmm. We're a big town now.
And it's a real melting pot, right?
There is a little bit of something for everybody here. I could, you know, if you like soca, I could find you a soca event, I'm sure, on the weekend. Or Kensington Market has a real history of, like, Jamaican artists emigrating in the 60s and 70s, so mm-hmm. there's a pretty heavy reggae scene here.
My children scream!
You can sample anything here, and it's even just going, I mean, there's a whole, like, hardcore culture, like the punk culture out in the 905, out in the suburbs, that doesn't even penetrate the downtown, but which does really well international. There's bands like Electric on Fire.
Streets are in distress. The sun suffocates beyond darkened skies.
Plus, we have, like, this thriving indie rock scene that just every couple of months there's another band that blows up out of here somewhere. And sometimes I haven't even heard of them. I'm reading about them in Pitchfork or in, like, The Guardian. I think we're the third largest live music market in the world now. There's just so much stuff going on.
Wow.
It's pretty happening, actually. It's exhausting being a music writer in this town.
All right, what about the places that we ignorant Americans, you know, would never think of, like Winnipeg, or I'm particularly fascinated with Newfoundland? Is that, I don't even know how to say
Newfoundland.
It.
That was my entry point to Canada when I moved from the UK, actually.
Really? I mean, that literally seems like the weirdest, most desolate place on Earth that you could be that's not the Antarctic.
It's quite a special place. I'm lucky to spend a lot of time there. And St. John's, the capital, is small, but by virtue of its isolation, because it's on an island in the North Atlantic, actually pretty city-like and happening. There's a lot going on there, and because it's expensive to leave the island, it's kind of got its own self-sustaining circuit, right? Mm. So, and everybody plays an instrument. It's kind of cool, actually. It's the land of the kitchen party.
That's how they show their respect for Pat Murphy. That's how they show their honor and their pride. They said it was a sin and a shame when we winked at one another. And every drink in the place was full the night Pat Murphy died.
You know what's another fun city for music is always kind of happening is Halifax, Nova Scotia.
Hmm.
Dating back to bands like Sloan and the Super Friends and Eric's Trip. We're actually from Moncton, New Brunswick, near where I grew up, but we're kind of lumped in with that scene in the grunge era. That's never gone away. There's a really fun little noise pop scene in Halifax. Bands like Dog Day and Kestrels making really cool, slightly Anglo-centric guitar rock.
We're talking to one of our favorite fellow rock critics, Ben Rayner of the Toronto Star, fine paper, up north, as they say. So Ben, I think the place to wrap up is give us a couple of artists from Canada who you like. I mean, we're trusting you as a critic.
Up and comers.
You know, who haven't broken here yet.
I was going to give you a couple of really cool ones that couldn't have come out of anywhere other than us. I will, Tanya DeGock is an Inuk throat singer. So the Inuit are Arctic dwelling native people, and she's played with Björk and people like what she does is this weird crossbeat of like free jazz, metal, rock. She does a Pixies cover,
wow,
of Caribou, but it's all wordless vocals. It's sort of this guttural, feral, almost like demonic grunting and shrieking. I can't really describe it. Tanya DeGock. amazing, but completely unique. And to see her live, it's like seeing someone possessed by spirits.
Wow.
Demonic, possession, retribution, you got me.
I'm in.
Another very Canadian kind of thing, and from my home province of New Brunswick. New Brunswick is a bilingual province, so half of it is French, half of it is English. The southwestern side where I grew up is English, but the rest of it, basically above Moncton, is Acadian French, so it has ties to Louisiana and the Cajun population there. Lisa LeBlanc is a Acadian, she's kind of a folk rocker from Roselleville, New Brunswick. She's bilingual. Her first album is in French. Her new one is in English. And she's got a voice, actually, that reminds me a bit of Nico Case. But it's this kind of foot-stomping, bluesy version of Acadian folk music. And it rocks pretty hard. And she's got a hell of a voice.
Could you at least wait till I've had my coffee? Could you at least wait till I've had my coffee? Before you break? Could you at least wait till I've had my coffee? For you say that you don't wanna be with me anymore. We weren't ready, that's all. Could you at least have the decency to let me have my coffee before you leave?
She's a neat example of, you know, a culture very specific to one province. She speaks in like Chiac, which is half French, half English, so you'll switch complètement en français halfway through the sentence and come back. And like, it's just like, that's a couple of very, very Canadian things for you.
We've been talking to Ben Rayner, the music critic for the Toronto Star since 1998, about Canadian music. Ben, thanks for playing tour guide with us today.
Hey, it was a pleasure.
When we come back, we'll highlight some of our favorite performances and interviews from Canadian artists who've been guests on Sound Opinions. And later, we'll head toward the Texas border and review the new album from Alejandro Escovedo. That's all coming up on Sound Opinions from WBEZ Chicago and PRX.